where they said that one thing that seemed pretty critical. Or you might think that, yeah, they're critical. Their nature is critical. Critical people are everywhere. Let's just start off with that. Because I know that you guys, maybe you go to your work environment and you're like, eh, my work's fine. It's not that bad. Like, there's nobody who's really on my case. But I bet you, if you spent some time just looking around that office, and especially once we're done with this sermon, I bet you could find a critical person in that office. I bet you it would not be that hard. So I want you guys to recognize that there are critical people all around us. So when it comes to those people, it's really talking about all of these people. I think a lot of the times when we take an example of this person's really like really frustrating me, like let's say somebody cuts you off on the freeway. That's always the go-to whenever you're like, somebody's frustrating me. It's probably somebody cutting me off on the freeway. But you think about that, you're like, I know I've cut people off sometimes. So when we think about critical people, I want you guys to recognize there's probably been a time where you've said something or done something that another person thought was critical. And they look at you and they think, man, that person's just so critical all the time. Even if you're a happy-go-lucky, jolly sort of person, I usually walk around with a big smile on my face and I can get really critical sometimes. It's in our nature because nothing is without critique. When we look at our lives, and if you look online, you'll see like Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if you guys have been onto Rotten Tomatoes, but you can go on there, type in any movie that you want, and you can think it's the best, like most wonderful movie, and I guarantee you somebody has a scathing review that's just like, no, it's just terrible. It's just junk. I hated that. Because they want to be the one voice of critique. Because nothing is perfect. Nothing is entirely without critique. As we look around this room, and we look at these different people in this room, and we look at the different things that we all enjoy, I guarantee you that we all have critiques, not just of each other, but of the things that we like. So I could say, yeah, I really like folk music, and somebody else is going to be like, that guy's a wuss, you know? And somebody else is going to be, I really like hard rock metal music. I know there's a couple of my youth that are like, I like metal music. And I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on. It's just all noises to me, right? And so we can critique each other. Nothing is without critique. So what I want you guys to do to participate in this sermon is, you see the thing that says prayer request in your bulletin? If you don't have one, if you don't have a bulletin, then take like an envelope or something out from the front. There's paper everywhere. We have no problems with killing trees around here. So there's paper everywhere. Find a piece of paper with enough little white space to write critiques. Now I want you guys, critique me. All right? Everything that I do. I'm sure Fred and I will have just a fun time going over this on Tuesday. When he's back and we get to have our meeting, it's like, this is what everybody thinks of me. I want you guys to write. I'm not going to read them. But I want you guys to write your critiques of me and this sermon and of your time here at the church. All right? I want you to do this. I know you're probably like, yeah, cool. I'm not gonna though. All right? I want you to. I don't want you to do it because I'm telling you to. I want you to do it because you want to participate in this sermon, okay? We're doing this as a group, okay? So take out a piece of paper. Take out a pencil. If you don't have one, I'm sure somebody can hunt one down for you. All right? And start taking notes critiquing me. And you're probably at this point writing, you're spending too long on this one topic. You're rambling. I don't know what you're saying. See, the thing is, we have a critical nature. As we learn more about things, as we learn more about the stuff that we love, our minds take that knowledge and turn them into critiques. We don't sit there and say, you know what? I just really, really like movies. I'm going to now go study movies, and then every single movie is just going to be so wonderful because I now know everything about it. You'll find that if you go into a film class at a junior college, which I did, you'll find a whole bunch of people who swear that they hate every single movie. You'll be like, hey, did you guys like that last Pixar movie? They're like, no, it was junk. And you're like, then why are you here? Everyone likes Pixar, right? And so you'll find that as we learn more and as we gain more knowledge about things, we're prone to take that knowledge and use it as a critique. We use it to judge other people. A lot of the times it's we use it to judge other people, and so we put them down or we make it seem like it's believable for us to reach that level. When I think about it, I think of art class. Because when I was in elementary school, I knew nothing about art, right? And my mom came in and taught a volunteer art class, and our job was to draw dolphins. Now, when there was a volunteer art class, at the end of the class, you could get your picture, like if yours was the best, they would pick it and they would hang it up in the library And this is like, you knew that you were going to grow up to be like Vincent Van Gogh if you were in the library, right? And so this time, I'd been terrible at these art classes up until this point, but I had to draw a dolphin. And I remember I was like, I'm going to draw this dolphin. I'm going to do it like so amazing. It's going to be jumping out of the water. There's going to be splash marks. And I'm like in elementary school. So the chances of this being good were just slim. No offense, elementary schoolers, right? But it's not like I'm going to become some sort of famous Vincent Van Gogh because I painted this picture of a dolphin. And yet, my picture of a dolphin was picked to go in the library. Now, many years passed. I ended up going to an arts high school where I had a whole bunch of friends who really liked visual arts and that sort of stuff. I was in there for writing because I recognized that I wasn't that good of a drawer, painter, right? And so I had this picture of a dolphin that my mom had kept up in the library. They took it down and she put it in a box. And when I was in high school, I went, I took out this picture of the dolphin. And I remember thinking, when it was up in the library, that this was a masterpiece. And now that I'd learned more about art, even just a little bit, I looked at it and was just like, what am I looking at? How is this a dolphin? What is it doing? Is it swimming upside down? I don't know. Why does it have like 8 fins? Like, what's going on here? And my immediate use of the knowledge that I had was to critique something that I'd made. And so it's like our nature is to acquire more knowledge. The smarter we are, statistics actually say, the more you study a subject, the more critical you are of things that come out of that. So if I don't know anything about science and somebody tells me that they've created an anti-gravity device, I'm going to be like, cool, that sounds crazy. Somebody else is going to be like, that's impossible. That's a bunch of baloney, right? That's probably an Onion article or something. I don't know what that is. But see, the thing is, we're prone to what's called loi dareo. It's a Greek word, because we're studying the Bible, right? So it's loi dareo. This term loi dareo is like being critical. It's just our nature is to seek after this kind of like tearing other things down. We have a nature in us that wants more loi dareo. If you guys will open up to 1 Peter 2, 21 to 23, that's the passage that's in here. So if you guys look, it says page 1889, or 1889, or 1889, or 1889. There's all sorts of ways to say that. But page 1889 is 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. Now, as you guys are flipping there, one of the main things about critical people is that they've acquired a certain skill. And so they think their opinion on that thing, whatever it is, whether it's art or movies or music or food or whatever, right? They think that their opinion on that is now solid fact. And we all have moments where we think this way. If somebody comes up to us, for instance, if somebody comes up to us that's like, I don't know, like a third grader, and they want to tell you that you don't know how to harmonize when you sing, you're going to be like, oh, ho, I don't even think you know what harmonizing means. I'm an adult, right? I can't harmonize for the life of me. But if you guys think like this, if you guys, one of the main things about critical people is that we all get to a point where we've acquired enough knowledge that we think our opinion on something is the absolute end-all, be-all opinion. I don't know if you guys have felt like this, if you guys have acted like this, but I wanted to show you guys an example of that in this first little video clip. If you guys will look at the front, this guy's named Anton Ego, and as I said before, Pixar movies are amazing. This is from the movie Ratatouille. Take it away, TV.
What is it, Ambrister?
Gusteau's.
Finally closing, is it?
No.
More financial trouble?
No, it's...
Announced a new line of microwave egg rolls. What? Spit it out.
It's come back. It's popular.
I haven't reviewed Gusteau's in years.
No, sir.
My last review condemned it to the tourist trade.
Yes, sir.
I said, Gusteau has finally found his rightful place in history right alongside another equally famous chef, Monsieur Boyardee.
Touché.
That is where I left it. That was my last word. The last word.
Yes.
Then tell me, Ambrister, how could it be popular?
No.
No, no, no!
The timing works.
Yeah, there we go. So we have Anton Ego. Anton Ego is this food critic that is the end-all be-all of food critics. And you can see he's a great example for us of a critical person. He then tears apart this restaurant because it's finally like just fallen apart. He says, belongs in the tourist trade. People just go there because it's this old gem that used to be popular. And yet for some reason it's popular again, and he can't fathom it. Because his opinion, his final word is the final word. His view on this food, on this art, on this whatever it is the final word. And with critical people, they often act that way. Or sometimes we give them that power. When somebody comes up to you and is like, hey, you just totally messed up on this spreadsheet. I don't know. Spreadsheets are a work thing that people use sometimes, I guess. So you totally messed up on this spreadsheet. What the heck's going on? This is the worst spreadsheet I've ever seen. Now, if you are like, that's the end-all be-all opinion. They're the master of spreadsheets. They know what they're talking about. Then that critique is going to be taken in and you're going to say, that is fact. Their opinion of what I've done is a fact. Now, that's how critical people work. They want you to believe that what they're saying is absolutely 100% fact. That's how they thrive. So they'll say something that's completely negative, that tears you down, and it only becomes really negative when you believe that it's true. That's how critical people work. Now, if you guys open up to 1 Peter 2:21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So this word, it says right at 23, when they hurled their insults at him, this word is loidareo. It's the word I was talking about. We have a nature inside of us that is prone to loidareo. We're prone to hurl insults at others. The word actually works like this. It means slandering others. That's how it's often translated. It's like you're taking somebody and you know how they actually are and you want to tear them down. We have a sense inside of us, our nature is to look at somebody who may be successful or who may be competitive with us and to tear them down. We want them to be on our level because we see ourselves way down here. We see them way up here and we've got to knock them down a peg. And so we critique everything that they're doing. That's where, movie critics, they'll sit back and they're like, this is always the critique of movie critics, is that they'll be sitting there and like, oh, this movie was junk. And then the person who made the movie is like, because you've made so many movies, right? Oh, wait, you're just a movie critic. So they want to be able to do what whoever's making the art is doing, and yet they can't, so they critique. And they knock people down a peg. And they think that their opinion of it is the absolute fact. That's how critical people work. And luckily, we have an example of how Christ deals with critical people. Christ, it says, oh, and this is a good one. It says, when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. That's how Christ did. That's what Christ's response was, is when people tore him down, he didn't retaliate. He didn't do anything back. And so this word, Greek is awesome in this way, is anti-loidareo. He didn't respond with a force that was equal to their force. He didn't say, all right, you're going to tear me down, I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to knock you down a peg. Do you realize who you're talking to? I am the Messiah. I am Jesus Christ. You are just some random person trying to tell me that I'm not who I am. And so it says here in the scriptures that he did not commit anti-loidareo. It's really weird because there's double negatives in there. He did not commit anti-loidareo. He did not respond with a negative force that counteracted their force. Now, this is getting a little confusing, I know. See, the worst critics aren't simply telling you how to improve. They're telling you that your improvement is impossible. When somebody critiques you, they aren't just saying, okay, here's what you could have done better. You kind of like slur in your speech a little bit when you're up there. You kind of like walk around funny and do weird hand movements, or your pants are too tight. Whatever it is, I'm giving you guys fuel to write stuff down, right? I want you to write stuff down. Remember, that's what we're doing as a group right now, is writing stuff down, critiques. They aren't just telling you what you can improve upon. They're telling you you're not what you think you are. The worst critiques aren't, hey man, you know, you could do better. You could sing that song a little better. You could have painted that painting a little better, or you could have done that spreadsheet a little better. They say, you're just not cut out for this. You're not meant for this line of work. And so when we talk about slandering people, this word loidareo, we're talking about not just critiques like, oh, yeah, you could improve on that. Maybe put a comma here, right? They're talking about critiques like, you're not the Messiah to Jesus. That's what they were saying. We know that this is who you are and who you claim to be, but that's not who you are. We deny that. We think that's not true. And so when we get critical people who come at us that are really trying to tear us down, they don't just say, you're not good enough. They say, you'll never be good enough. They don't just say, here's how you can improve and get better, which is what we often call constructive criticism. They say, you can't get better because you're just not cut out for this. There's a je ne sais quoi. There's a certain talent that you don't have. And that's what really gets us. It's because we have people telling us that that's not where we can be. That's not who we can be. And I don't know if you guys have ever had an experience like this where you're really trying something new. Maybe you got into like model airplane building. I don't know if that's what you're into, right? But if you got into model airplane building and then somebody comes along and is just like, this is the worst model airplane I have ever seen. I didn't even know it was a model airplane until you told me. I don't think that could fly. I don't think that could even be called an airplane in any sort of sense of the word. There are no wings. There's no nothing, right? And they just completely tear it apart. You never want to make another model airplane in your entire life. And maybe you're like, I didn't want to in the first place. I don't know what you're talking about, Alex, right? I've never been inclined to model airplane building. But maybe for you guys, you've been like, yeah, there was a time in high school where I really wanted to be a rock star. And so I picked up a guitar. Scotty's like, me? I thought that was Caleb. Because, you know, yeah, I still want to be a rock star, right? No. Maybe there's a time in high school where you wanted to be a rock star and you started to play guitar and then somebody came along and like, oh, you think that's playing guitar? That's not, you're not even holding it right. Maybe you were like this, I can play the git fiddle, right? This is the way I do it. And then when you ever listen to like VH1's Behind the Music or anything like that, any of those like documentaries about famous artists, it's always like they were told they weren't good enough and then they pushed through it and then they just kept doing it anyway. And then they became super famous. So obviously that critic was wrong. You know, and you, maybe you've seen this on your Facebook wall or something like that where it just says, you know, the Beatles were completely told that they, like, that their music was going to be terrible and that they weren't going to get popular, and then they did. And like somebody told Elvis that like guitar music was the way of the past and nobody's ever going to like this anymore, and then obviously Elvis is super famous and all this other stuff. And we look at this and we say, there are times in our lives where we've heard critiques that critique us to our core, that they just really upset us because they're telling us that we cannot be who we want to be. Right? Somebody comes up to you and you're like, I want to be the president of the United States of America. And they say, that's cute, little kid. You can't. Sorry. And if you look back like 30 years ago, that would have been most people who were in a minority group would have had somebody at some point tell them, nah, but you're not a white dude. You're not going to be the president. I'm sorry. And now we look at it and we say, all things are possible. Of course those things are possible. And so we see these people who have critiques to like the core of others. And the people who thrive, who get past that and say, I don't care what your critiques are, I know who I'm made to be, continue on their way in doing what they want to do. And sometimes maybe they're super famous. Sometimes they realize they actually aren't that good at playing guitar. I don't know. But they recognize who they were meant to be. Now with this, Christ did not commit anti-loidareo. Now, with critical people, we're often prone, if they're going to knock you down a peg, you're going to knock them down a peg. So whatever the ratio is of how much better you are than them will continue, even if you guys are both down here, right? So you're going to keep on knocking other people down a peg. When you meet a critical person, your response is like, well, at least I'm not a critical person. Jeez, I mean, look at this guy critiquing everybody. I'm glad I don't critique everybody. Nobody should be that guy's friend because he's a critical person, right? And you critique them or put them into a category that is less than what they're made to be. You're not saying, oh yeah, you should totally grow up to be a critic one day. You're saying, you're a critical person and no one should be your friend, right? You knock them down. Maybe somebody says, you know what, you didn't do your job very well. You kind of come in late every once in a while. And so you think to yourself, yeah, but you're not a good boss. So it equals out, right? And we have this way of doing like a checks and balance where we say, okay, maybe I'm not that good, but at least I'm not as bad as you, so we've balanced each other out. That's anti-loidereo. That's a response of a negative critique of somebody else in order to counteract their negative critique. Now, if you think about it like this, have you ever used noise-canceling headphones, right? They're the way of the future. They take a little microphone, it picks up all the sounds that are coming in, and then it creates an opposite sound that counteracts it so that the sound doesn't exist. And so when you're listening to your headphones, it's like nothing's there. Because it's actually producing a sound that's the opposite of the other sound. They come at each other and they fall apart and disappear. One force, another force, exact same, boom, gone. Awesome. Science. I don't know how it works, right? So we have these noise-canceling headsets, and that's a lot like this word anti-loitereo. It's like if we could just come up with a negative force that is equal to the force that's coming at us, then boom, it's gone. No one's being critiqued because we've committed anti-loitereo. If I can just make fun of them enough, then when they make fun of me, we both are still on the equal playing field, right? We still have balanced each other out. When in actuality, Christ says, or the Bible says that Christ did not, where did it go? Did not retaliate. He did not commit anti-loitereo. He didn't do this, right? He did not respond with insults. He did not reverse their insults like noise-canceling headsets. He aligned himself with the one who judges justly. He decided that no matter what these people say, his response is going to be to go to Christ. Go to God, I guess, in this case. His response is going to be, go to God. Know what God has made him for, right? So whatever these critiques are, they don't matter. Because they're not God. They don't know. And this is oftentimes what we like tell each other. It's like, hey, whenever somebody's picking on you, just know God's the one that's got it. He's the one that knows. And we think, yeah, there we go. That's the answer. God. God's always the answer because we're in church. It makes sense. But in actuality, when we go out into the world and we hear these critiques, for some reason somebody says something and you don't know why, you just forget about the whole God thing and it sets you off. It like hurts you to the core of who you are. And you just don't know what to do anymore. You just hate them. They say something and you just hate them. Now, luckily, I've been going to premarital counseling and learning about these things. And I can share them with you. And Kate will be like, it's been great, right? There's this thing called psychological projecting. I don't want to get all like psychological on you, but that's what's going on. We have this tendency that if we don't like something about ourselves, we push it down as far as we can and we try to pretend like it's not there. Oh, I am a little bit lazy. No, I'm not lazy. I'm awesome, right? That's just how we roll. So, like, oh man, I guess sometimes I do kind of slack off at work. No, wait, I'm the best at work. Everyone just doesn't recognize it, right? And so when you see other people who are doing this like one little thing that you really hate about yourself, you hate them with every ounce of who you are. When somebody critiques you and says, hey man, you know you're a little bit lazy, and you're like, oh, I'm not lazy. I've deleted that from myself, and now I'm just going to project it onto you. I hate you. Right? I don't know why our minds are made that way, but I can tell you that's absolutely how it works. For the longest time, I thought there were all these people who were critical of me. And I was like, why is everybody so critical of all the stuff that I do? Why is nothing ever good enough? Right? And I don't know if you guys ask that same question, but I feel like it's kind of common to live your life wondering, why is it never good enough? I've worked and I've worked and I've worked, and yet all I get back is a critique of the things that I've done. And so I had this sense where no matter what I did, no matter how hard I worked, it wasn't good enough. And so I would sit there, and whenever somebody would come by, I don't know if I developed this from like trying to do, you know, speaking stuff at church, but when somebody I would talk to at church afterwards, they would say something, I'd be playing bass, or I'd be doing communion and offering and something like that. They would say something like, oh, that was really good. You really have like a spirit for this sort of stuff. It's like you're really fun. And I'm just like, you're just saying that because you don't want to tell me that I'm actually good at bass because I'm not good at bass. Like you didn't want to say, hey, that was a really good job you did playing bass. You just wanted to say, that was really fun time that you had up there because I don't know what sounds you were making, but they were not right. Right? And so I had this tendency when somebody would give me a compliment to immediately find wherever the critiques were in that compliment. And so I could like harvest it out, and maybe if I find all the critiques, I can make myself perfect. And then nobody will critique me ever because I'll be amazing. Right? And this was me saying all of this stuff about myself that I don't like. The fact that, you know what, for some reason, I cannot play basketball very well. I just can't do it. I'm not a very athletic person. I'm just going to push it down. No, I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I've just never like tried to play basketball. I'm going to push that down. And so when other people would critique me, I would let that anger out on them, and I'd say, you know what? No, I'm perfect, and you're wrong, and I'm just going to make everything perfect because I can do that. How many of you guys can make everything perfect? Show of hands is fine. I can look away. Right? No, none of you can. If you can, please see me after the sermon. I would love your help. Right? So oftentimes we sit there and we try to make ourselves perfect. We work on every little tiny thing. And even when we get compliments, we hear critiques within the compliments. That's how I was. I would hear people telling me things that were complimentary. Like, hey, you seemed like you were really having fun up there. And I'd be like, you mean I was really goofing off? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Right? Alex looks like he's goofing off right now. He just tucked in his shirt so he looked like he wouldn't be goofing off. But no, he's goofing off, right? So oftentimes, we take even compliments and we turn them into critiques. And this is that act of projecting. When we have stuff that we hate about ourselves, we push it down and then we project it onto other people. We project it onto them. We say, oh, well, at least I'm not lazy like blah, blah, blah. Like, at least I'm not lazy like Randy is. You're not lazy, Randy. He actually makes stuff. I can't do that, right? Fix up furniture. That's crazy. Or like you push it down and you say, at least I'm not lazy like this person, or at least I'm not as stupid as this person, or at least I'm not as like mean as this person. Meanwhile, you're being super mean because you're projecting everything onto these other people, right? And so you push it down, and it ends up just coming out onto other people. And so you have this tendency, when other people come and critique you, that you just hate them. They'll say something that just gets on your nerves. Now, let's say I came up to you and I said to you, you know what? You're just really bad at basketball. You should feel bad because you're bad at basketball. Now, some of you guys are like, I'm not bad at any sports. I'm amazing. And others are like, I'm like 80 years old. Like, I don't know how old some people are, but it's like, I don't play basketball anymore. I don't care. Like, I don't know why you're getting on my case for this. Other people are like, man, you know what? You're really bad at crochet. Have you ever crocheted before? Because this is just terrible. And you're like, no, I haven't. I have no desire to crochet in my entire life. I don't care. And so we get these critiques sometimes that you just find somebody who's like, they're going to critique you for whatever reason. And you're like, okay, cool. I've never tried to do that. I don't care about that. That doesn't hurt my feelings. You just sound crazy. Right? If somebody came up to you, you've never crocheted in your entire life, and they say that your crocheting is bad, you're going to be like, sweet. I had no intention of ever making that a career. I had no intention of ever like determining my life based on that one thing. But if somebody comes up to some people and they happen to crochet every single day, if Kendra was here, she'd be like, yeah, what? Because she crochets all the time. And if they said to her, your crocheting is bad and you should feel bad, right? Then she's going to feel bad. She's going to say, I spend all my time doing this. What are you talking about? This is all that my life is sometimes. And she's way more than just a crochet person. She's got a lot of other stuff going on, right? But when you take these things that you think are personal to yourself and they get critiqued, you get angry. Because you're already critiquing yourself. Now, this is how projecting works. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, you're your own worst critic. But it turns out it's entirely true. A lot of the times we're sitting there when nobody else is around and we're working on something and we just think that it's terrible. And we keep working on it and we keep working on it, and all we see are the little tiny mistakes. And we keep on harping on those things. Man, I can't believe I messed up on that. Oh man, I can't believe I messed up on this. This is just, oh man, nobody would ever like this. And you sit there and you critique it and you critique it and you critique it until you're finally like, all right, this is good enough, but it's not that good. I mean, I'm no Vincent Van Gogh. I'm no, I don't know, famous preachers. I'm no them. I'm just some dude with a beard who looks like famous preachers. But no, I'm not. Right? And so we end up critiquing ourselves and saying, yeah, that was good, but it wasn't great. That was good, but I didn't get the same results as other people, so it wasn't that amazing. That was good, but it's never good enough. You don't critique yourself like that on things you don't care about. If you've never crocheted in your entire life, you're never going to sit there on your couch while watching some random reality TV show and being like, I'm the worst at crocheting that there's ever been. I've never even crocheted in my entire life. I'm just so bad at it, I've never even tried. You're not going to do that. Nobody's ever going to sit there and critique themselves on stuff that they don't care about. But you critique yourself on the stuff that's really important to who you are. The stuff that you defined your life by. So in Christ, responds to criticism with, I'm going to align myself with the one who judges justly. This says a lot about the way criticism works. Because it's not a, you know what, this force of evil, these Pharisees and these people who don't believe in me are telling me stuff that's bad, I'm going to stop them. He says, I'm not going to do anything because it's not about them. The criticism doesn't matter. But the critiques that you allow inside yourself do. When you start defining yourself by your own criticisms, nothing will ever be good enough. But the other problem with that, when you start saying, you know what, I really think I'm not good enough, is that you're not aligning yourself with the one who judges justly. I know this may be weird for you guys to hear, because it's weird for me to think about. I don't care how old you are or how young you are, you don't know what you were made to do as well as God does. God knows you inside and out. He's counted every hair on your head. You have not. If you did, you'd probably be like, split ends everywhere. Why? God looks at every single hair on your head, counts them, keeps them all in order, and loves you enough to die for you. He knows you better and loves you better than you will ever know or love yourself. And if you're your own worst critic, and you can't run away, you can't lock yourself in a door in like a closet or something and be like, I'm not gonna allow these critics to get to me. I'm just gonna think I'm awesome all the time. You can't do that because you're worse critics inside of yourself. The only solution is to align yourself with the one who judges justly. The issue we have when we start noticing all these critical people everywhere, and we're thinking to ourselves, you know what, I'm not good enough, this isn't working, is that we're not aligned with the one who knows what working means. We're not aligning ourselves with the one who knows how everything's supposed to fit together. We've decided this is how I'm going to define my life. I'm going to be the best freaking crocheter ever. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to study this. I'm going to spend hours and hours online and I'm going to be great at this. And it's all going to be for the glory of God. And God's sitting back saying, no. You, being my creation, being dedicated to me, aligning yourself with my desires for you and my judgments of you, that is how you will bring glory to me. So we go out and we try and do all of these different things and we end up not aligning ourselves with the one who judges justly. Entrust yourself to him who judges justly. I want you guys to take a look at this next clip from Ratatouille. This is kind of the conclusion. And Anton Ego recognizes the value of his criticism.
In many ways, the work of a critic is easy. We risk very little, yet enjoy a position over those who offer up their work and themselves to our judgment. We thrive on negative criticism, which is fun to write and to read.
But the bitter truth we critics must face is that in the grand scheme of things, the average piece of junk is probably more meaningful than our criticism designating it so. But there are times when a critic truly risks something And that is in the discovery and defense of the new. The world is often unkind to new talent, new creations. The new needs friends. Last night I experienced something new. An extraordinary meal from a singularly unexpected source. To say that both the meal and its maker have challenged my preconceptions about fine cooking is a gross understatement. They have rocked me to my core. In the past, I have made no secret of my disdain for Chef Gusteau's famous motto, "Anyone can cook." But I realize only now do I truly understand what he meant. Not everyone can become a great artist, but a great artist can come from anywhere.
Awesome. How many of you guys have been writing critiques? Nice. Thank you guys. Can you hold them up? Awesome. I want you to look at that list and imagine that it was a list that you wrote of yourself. Imagine that you wrote down all the critiques that you have of yourself. I imagine it would be far longer than what you wrote for me. I imagine that you would have so many things that you immediately go to. I'm like this. I don't look this way. I don't act this way. I need to be more like who I've said I need to be. I want you to take that list. I want you to really look at it. And imagine that you've written down all the things that you hate about yourself. All the critiques that you have of yourself. And then I want you to realize that the average piece of junk has more worth than the criticism designating itself. Everything you've written there is meaningless. And you can crumple it up and you can throw it away and it's gone. The average piece of junk, no matter what it is, who we are, if we think we're junk, has more worth than that criticism that designates it as junk. There's no point in that criticism. That is worthless. You have decided that you are going to define yourself by something other than God's view of you. You've decided that you are the just judge and that God is just some guy who floats around in a cloud and has a big white beard. And whatever he thinks, that's cool. Whatever. I've written this down. This is true. This is my list of critiques. Now, I look out on you guys and I see that you guys all have lists of critiques of who I am. Now, if I say, all that matters to me is being a good preacher, all that matters to me is looking good up here, then I've done wrong. I want to be able to read every single one of those critiques. I'm not going to. I want to be able to read every single one of those critiques and say, I don't care because I'm aligned with the one who judges justly. I'm aligned with the one that for whatever reason, no matter how stupid I feel, no matter how dumb, no matter how lazy, no matter how just bad I feel, that he still died for me. That he still has designated me as something great. He still has said, I want you to be royalty in the kingdom of heaven. For whatever reason, he is the one that judges justly, and I am not. And he has decided that I am worth something, no matter what I say about myself. When you're dealing with critical people, you're dealing with the critic inside yourself. And the only solution is to return to the one who judges justly. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for giving us worth, for deciding what we're actually valued for telling us that we are good enough for you. I pray that we can recognize that you are the judge who judges justly and not us. That we don't have some sort of greater knowledge about how human beings are supposed to work because we're just fallen people. But you are the creator and you've made us in a certain way to do certain things. And I pray that we can align ourselves with that. In your name, amen.